Is there any way we can turn the volume up on Tracy? I've got my hearing aids on max. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So we're going to be section 3, number 1, case 24-136, regarding Torres and Co. DVM. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Torres and Co. In case number 24-136, this matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it at ARS 32-2234. Dr. Zenko, please come forward and introduce yourself and counsel.
Hi, I'm Dr. Zenko.
And David Stoll, appearing as legal counsel for Dr. Zenko.
Thank you. Dr. Zenko, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
The only additional materials Dr. Zenko brought with her today are the practice employee handbook and a supplement. There are two.
A supplement to the handbook?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank
like
you.
It's specific to Chino Valley Animal Hospital.
Thank you.
And is it focused on social media and cell phones?
There is a portion about that, yes, correct. But there's more so, it entails the entire handbook copy.
Whoa.
Are the red markings the social media pages?
Yeah, part of that. But the main one that you guys have already had, that copy has the social media page.
Right, that part of the handbook.
Yeah, that portion of the handbook.
Is there, can you guide me to what portion of these handbooks deal with the actual treatment of the animal?
The...
That was the first violation.
Oh, sorry. Here is one. Sorry, am I allowed to come this way?
Yes. Okay.
I am no sorry.
I only bite on Fridays.
This talks about
could you speak a little louder?
Oh, sorry.
Just because there's a court reporter who is
there's the red part about the rules of conduct of like the treatment like the staff has.
I want to focus on the treatment of the animal.
I didn't it is in here about the social media part, and then the...
Already seen that.
We'll address that in a minute, then, if there's...
Okay.
So we'll
okay.
go ahead and move forward. So this proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly, and that only one person speaks at a time. We'll begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this case to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Okay, we've got Ms. Solomon.
Yes.
You are the lead. If you could please give a brief summary
yes,
of the case.
Yes, here. On April 16, 2024, Mikey Springs, a six-year-old male poodle, was presented to Respondent's Associate for a neuter procedure. The dog was neutered, and while in recovery, technical staff, and I'm going to leave out names unless the board would like them, held the dog on his back and flopped the dog's head back and forth. The dog was extubated, but still sedated. Another technical staff member videoed the activity and later posted in her social media account. Staff members from other animal premises saw the video and reported the incident to respondent and eventually the board. Respondent stated that the two staff were formally warned with written warnings and advised that they would be terminated if another incident against hospital policies occurred. Respondent further stated the new hospital policies were implemented prohibiting staff from having their phones while working. The two technicians in question had submitted their statements. Follow-up communication documented the dog's medical records reflect the pet owner reporting that the dog recovered well from the surgery and that there were no IT recovery issues. The pet owner was not told of the incident, and the board has reviewed the video. The board had concluded that as the responsible veterinarian for the premises, respondent is responsible for staff's conduct and the handling of the animal on the premises. This case was heard by the investigative committee on September 10, 2024, and was heard by the board initially on October 16, 2024. After discussion and consideration, I made a motion, and it was seconded by Dr. Wright to offer Dr. Zenko a consent agreement that includes a period of probation for 1 year. Excuse me, I skipped over the actual site of the violation. Let me go back to that. The investigative committee's recommendation was accepted. And consent agreement was offered to Dr. Zenko, finding her in violation of ARS 3222-3212 as it relates to AAC R311-5011, failure to provide courteous treatment of an animal due to the mishandling of the patient by staff after a surgical procedure was performed. After that, the board approved the offering of a consent agreement that included 1 year probation, 4 hours of continuing education, including 2 on communication, considerate treatment of pets and pet owners, and social media, and 2 hours CE on staff and staff management. No civil penalty was levied. Although a hospital policy regarding social media was provided, no evidence of any hospital policy or proof of staff training has been submitted and or addressed by the respondent regarding her violation of ARS 3222-3212 as it relates to AAC R311-5011, failure to provide courteous treatment of an animal due to the mishandling of the patient by staff after a surgical procedure was performed. Since Dr. Zenko declined to sign the offered consent agreement, the matter is now the subject of this informal interview. And I have questions whether you want to hear their presentation first.
Yep, we'll just keep moving forward. So Dr. Zenko, at this time, I would like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Absolutely, yes.
All right. So Dr. Zenko, we'd like to give you and your counsel the opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Going back, this response is kind of lengthy because it's in multiple parts, but the case did not involve any veterinary medical care that I provided, nor any conduct on my part. The complaint involves a social media video that was taken by one of my employees, an unlicensed technician, without my knowledge or consent. In fact, the video was taken on my day off, and I was not present when this occurred. I wanted to make this clear at the time of the incident that the practice already had policies and procedures in place as to both the appropriate ways to handle patients and against the video recording of any patients without the owner's request. Unfortunately, an experienced and valued technician chose to violate these policies. I do not feel that this was my fault, because this was a situation that were shortcomings on my, that were due to shortcomings on my part as a responsible veterinarian for not having appropriate policies and procedures in place, because those policies were there. They were in place, but unfortunately were violated by the employee, and I had no reason to suspect that was ever going to be the case. Since becoming medical director at Chino Valley Animal Hospital, there have been two goals of mine: improving patient-centered care and culture in our clinic. We've spent many hours and meetings going over what we wanted patient-centered care to look like. We added a mission value statement, core values, recently discussed behavioral covenants. There have been peer classes on given on animal restraint. Even prior to this, we do this annually, I would say. As we have new staff come in, we go over proper animal restraint, as well as, because we do so much surgery, there's a specific surgery team as well. All the staff has an electronic copy of a handbook through the onboarding system. Improving the clinic to be one that includes distributive leadership and no longer dictatorship, and moving away from the older veterinary culture where staff was underpaid and overworked. As many of you know, this job is not for the faint of heart. Yes, there are there's absolutely policies against horseplay, but we cannot micromanage staff. We promote self-accountability from the top down, from the management side down. I've done workshops, including Randy Hall with his company called VetLead, and our clinic has participated in communication workshops using frank communication techniques with Heather Lenzer and Tina Daugherty. What these technicians did was wrong. I'm not discounting that. But this was truly an isolated incident. I had never seen either employee act in this way. And so to me, that was why they were not worth terminating. They are human and they made a mistake. They were both extremely remorseful even before seeing a write-up that entailed that if this were to ever happen again, termination would absolutely be the next step. Jessa and Kelsey both regularly participate in community events representing our hospital, and they never hesitate to give a hand in teaching new technicians new tasks or learning about our hospital, so this was very out of character for them. I wanted to also let you know, as soon as the video came to light, I personally saw to it that the subject employee was reprimanded and disciplined for the manner in which they handled that patient. And further video recording, both of which were in violation of existing policies that I had implemented at the practice. Also, since this incident, I have taken additional corrective actions, as you have discussed here, by implementing the policy that precludes any employees from possessing their personal cell phones during work hours, except in cases where employees need to maintain communication with their children. We also will be adding in a professionalism as a core value to our hospital to further enforce the point, as I think it is crucial to round out the clinic we want to embody. In sum, I feel that I've done everything that we could reasonably have been expected as a responsible veterinarian to have prevented and addressed this rogue incident to prevent anything like this from happening again in the practice. This is why I chose not to accept the consent agreement. I will take questions if you guys have any.
Thank you. So I'd now like to ask board members if you have any questions for Dr. Zinko.
Yes, Madam Chair, I do. You said you declined to sign the consent agreement, or you're not offering, you just generally disagree with the consent agreement on this, or you think it should be amended?
I would prefer be...
Oh, no, you know, the fact that she didn't sign the consent agreement, she, you know, is her right, and she has the right to be here, so the board really can't take into consideration. If she wants to answer, she, you know, I'll defer to Mr. Stoll.
But I can tell you, she didn't think that she did anything wrong. The consent agreement, if you read it, it would sound like she personally mishandled a patient or pet.
Yeah. No, but or would have, con- like, I mean, it's not that I condone that behavior at all, like, and it, but I think it's hard to be able to, like, micromanage every little thing that our staff is going to do. Like, I can't, unfortunately,
also,
think for them.
Also, the sanction was continuing education and appropriate treatment and handling of patients.
Yes.
There's no lack of knowledge on her part as to the appropriate treatment and handling of patients, and nor is there with her training of employees. This was just a rogue, isolated incident where somebody didn't follow the policies and procedures that were in place for handling of pets and for not videotaping patients without. So that's why the consent agreement was rejected, which is our absolute right.
Yes, thank you for offering that information. The responses we've received showed policies related to social media, even reading the performance improvement plan of the staff involved. It focused on social media and cell phones. There was nothing about treatment of the animal, and that's where my concern focuses. And that's why I asked, do you have policies, particularly on the treatment of sedated animals or treatment of patients post-op?
Yeah, so I mean, like, I wouldn't say particularly post-op, because no animal, whether it's post-op or just coming through our doors for general practice procedures for a toenail trim, should be treated like that. So there's restraint classes taught, but that's like across the board, and then we go over, we have training policies that the surgery team, which they have been through, about that goes through how we appropriately recover patients. I mean, making a patient dance is not, like, that wouldn't have even come up as a possibility, because that is, like, we just talk about, like, we support patients' airways, we, you know, support patients into, like, extubation and what appropriate recovery looks like. So I get your concern about that, but no, we don't have, like, post-op handling, like, specifically outlined. We just have patient handling outlined, and even, like, in our core values about, like, supporting everything to the level of compassion. Like, if you were a human or a pet, like, how would you want your animal to be recovered? Like, if you were owner just happening to be stopping by.
So do you or do you not have a policy that this handling, instance of handling of the animal would go against?
Yeah, because it would be under horseplay. Yeah, like, and against training, and that what happened to me was horseplay, and that is in the guidebook, the handbook.
Okay.
Yeah, that
just, it's not cited in the
response.
It's not cited in the response. It's not cited in the performance improvement plan, and the whole emphasis of my concern was the whole emphasis seemed to be on the social media aspect and not the treatment of the animal, which is, of course, is one of our major concerns. So also, you're asking why you're responsible, because you're the responsible veterinarian for the premise. So
we're just asking questions. You just have to ask a question.
I was answering the question she asked. Sorry.
Oh.
Okay. I think that the fact that there hasn't been anything that's addressed the treatment of the sedated patient, that would you agree that that further justifies the need for the continuing education?
Probably not something she can answer. But I do have a question. So Dr. Zenko, I believe one of the questions that we had circulated and asked was, has the pet owner been informed of this situation?
Yes.
No, okay. They have not, just because I didn't feel that it was warranted, because I thought that it would disturb them more. Like, I think that it would go, like, if the patient had been hurt or injured, then I would have absolutely, like, but the animal did well. I wasn't there, like, as we've said, that day, so, like, I didn't know about it until later, so there was nothing that I could have done. I mean, yes, I could have let them know later, absolutely,
right, right.
But I think it would have done more damage than not.
Did I ask in what way?
More so, like, I guess it is an interesting question, only because, like, sometimes owners just don't take things as seriously as we take them. Like, when I saw that video, I was like, this is absolutely not okay that this happened, that the animal was treated in such way. Mm-hmm. But in, like, as you know, the very Sue Happy world we live in now, as like, people are very, they will come after you for anything and everything to the fullest degree, and so I didn't want to, like, compromise the patient in that circumstance, like, or potentially with the owner, like, further upset them about this circumstance.
The owner of the pet, to follow up, Madam Chair, you didn't feel they were entitled to know that information?
No. We've had things that have happened, and I absolutely, like, if animals are injured or there was a medical mistake made to an animal, I'm the first one to call that owner to let them know. Like, that is not something that's, like, out of my character to try to hide things from owners. I am very upfront with owners about what happens to their pet from the time they enter our clinic to the time that they leave. Like, but the animal was not injured. It was definitely misappropriately handled, but I think that sometimes in veterinary medicine, like, if you, like, aggressively head tap something, like, to prevent while doing a toenail trim, like, we don't always tell owners that either, to just to, you know, let, like, distract a patient. Not that saying what happened was okay, but in veterinary medicine, like, things that happen, we don't tell them every little thing if it made it okay.
And then the social media piece. So, as far as the use of cell phones and devices like that, do you encourage it for certain use, like, that might be appropriate? As far as, obviously, there's a lot of applications that exist, right, in our profession. So, I guess, how do you navigate that in your practice when it comes to the fact that it's part of the world, right? And so completely excluding them may be a problem. How are you balancing that? Because, again, you can have a policy written, but as you know now, everybody's a human being acting on their own accord, but you are the responsible veterinarian. Mm-hmm. So, you know, unfortunately, you are responsible. So how do you view that piece?
So, like, more so where I thought you were going with the question is, like, so our practice manager posts social media for us. Like, we work closely with our reps, like our drug reps, like Merck and Zoetis and stuff like that. So, like, we want to have stuff posted about certain patients, like, during the holidays and stuff like that. We just had, like, a Christmas banner and stuff like that where we could take photos for clients, but it went through our, like, the practice manager. So, like, taking the photo, going through our hospital email and stuff like that. If owners wanted the copy of that, things like that, we authorize that. We also use, it's called Scribble Vet. It's an AI version to talk about, like, to go through our records. And so everything like that goes through our hospital. But there are, I would just say that everything goes through our practice manager on a social media. Like, unless you are authorized by a client to take a picture, but we really just have the practice manager because she's very involved in everything, so we just try to have her handle that. And then if people, like I said, if people have kids that are sick or not doing well or something like that, then, like, they'll have their phones on them for that time. But yes, no, I think it's a difficult, social media is a very difficult area to navigate in the world we live in today.
Can I ask a follow-up
question? Yes, please.
I think more what I would be getting at is removing cell phones from employees doesn't actually change, in my mind, their decision to use bad judgment.
Yeah.
And cell phones can be helpful in practice because mm-hmm. there's information on cell phones, calculators and drug mm-hmm. dosages and
yeah.
plums. And
yeah.
I mean, I just think of so many different ways I would use my cell phone that I ask you from a standpoint of, do you actually think that removing cell phones from the practice is really going to help in a situation preventing something like this from happening in the future?
I know, yeah, it is. I mean, I think it's difficult because you can't, yeah, as you guys have both kind of touched on, like, the human component, you can't prevent someone from, like, going and grabbing their cell phone to do something like this. It's just something that I don't think I would have in a million years would have thought that could have happened, but I just don't know. That's something that I feel, like, newer in of just trying to figure out how to navigate. So the doctors have their cell phones for things like, yeah, plums, calculators, things like that. But, yeah, I think that it's definitely difficult. So we just try to have a very, like, transparent and conversations with staff about, like, the implications that, like, social media can have and stuff like that if it were to go, like, how this went rogue kind of incident.
Thank you. Any other questions? No? I see no? All right. So do you or your counsel have any additional remarks?
I would just like to call Kelsey Purdy briefly. And just ask her a few questions. Oh, you want to swear her in?
Yes, please.
Yes.
All right. Can you go ahead and state your name for the record?
Kelsey Purdy.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to swear you in. Do you swear in or affirm that you're about to give, that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
Kelsey, you are the technician that is seen in video handling the pet in this case, correct?
Correct.
Was the manner in which that you were handling that pet post-operatively, was that the way that you were trained and the policies that were in place at the practice? Was that the way you were trained to handle a pet post-operatively?
No, it wasn't.
Was that the manner in which you held the dog completely contrary to the way that Dr. Zanko and others at the practice trained you?
Yes.
Those are the only questions.
I have a question if I may. Okay. Are you a certified veterinary technician?
I am not.
Okay. So we don't regulate you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Excuse me, Mr. Fulk.
Thank you.
It's K-E-L-S-E-Y. My last name is P-U-R-D-Y.
I want one question.
Yeah.
So you were holding.
Yes.
Somebody else was videoing. Was it just, are we always videoing? Or did you, was there an action taken and then we need to get this on video?
No, it wasn't always videoing. I was holding the dog and then someone was taking video and I was not holding.
Can you tell me why they started videoing?
Probably because of what was happening. And
yeah. No, I understand. Well, I guess my question is, was some of the things that not on that video, it would have been some of the same actions on your part. Hold on a second. I need to get
no,
this.
No, I think I get what
okay.
you mean.
Right.
No, it was all like the same inappropriate action, which was honestly an incident, like an isolated incident. But yes, so it was occurring beforehand. They saw it and they started videoing.
Okay.
So yes.
Thank you.
But I understand that that's very inappropriate. Right. And I.
Okay. That answered my question.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Unless anybody else has any questions. Dr. Zenko, you want to go? Unless you have any questions, I just have closing comments.
Well, one quick question. The surgeon, the doctor in charge of the case.
Yeah.
Do you know where she was at the time? Or
so, she was sitting at the computer, like doing her record, and the lead surgery technician was like facing her, and so they were just talking about calling the owner for just a post-op. Hey, just to let you know everything went well. This is the time for pickup. And then Jessa and Kelsey were behind them.
Okay.
So that's where everything was. And,
okay.
And I do have one more quick follow-up question. Was the owner ever notified?
No, like of the way that the patient was handled?
Correct.
Correct, yes.
Yeah. So it's basically public information now. That
yeah.
The complaint was filed with the board, but the owner has not been contacted.
Well, yeah, because it was in this that the owner was not going, like, yes, it is public information, but the owner wasn't going to be notified because...
You didn't notify the owner.
Yeah, but also in the documents that were sent to me, it took out Mikey Springs' name out of it.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that last part.
I believe that it was saying that because the owner wasn't the one who filed the complaint, at least what I read in one of my papers that was sent to me, that they weren't like notifying Mikey's parents because nothing had happened. There was no injury to the dog. Yeah, they would have been notified. Yeah. But I do want to say, I understand my job role responsibilities as the responsible veterinarian. I wasn't ever, questioning that. I was just saying I wasn't there that day to, control, and everyone has been, properly trained, I would say.
Any other questions?
I don't know. Yeah, do any board members have any further?
No.
Well, he's just got to do his final.
I just want to point out, there's a legal concept that I know Mark Harris is familiar with, and it's known as strict liability. It's a rarely imposed statutory liability where one person is automatically held liable for the actions of another. An example of that is ARS 11-1025 is the Arizona dog bite statute, that if a pet owner's dog bites somebody in public, the pet owner's held strictly liable for that. There is no strict liability statute under the Arizona Veterinary Practice Act. Specifically, there is no statute that says that a responsible veterinarian is strictly liable for any and all actions of their employees. As you've heard, Dr. Zenko didn't do anything wrong in this case. She had policies in place that were unfortunately violated by her employees. If the technician in this case had been licensed, it was a CBT, you would find her solely responsible and could not be that she violated R311-5011 by failing to provide courteous treatment of an animal and mishandling it. No action would have been taken against Dr. Zenko in that situation. She was not even at the practice on that day. She should not be penalized simply because she is designated as the responsible veterinarian. There is no strict liability. It would be different in this case if you had evidence that this incident occurred because Dr. Zenko, as the responsible veterinarian, failed to have adequate policies and procedures in place at the practice. But she did have policies in place, undertook training at the practice for the appropriate ways to handle patients. And by the technician's own admission, she received that training, and the manner in which she handled the pet on this occasion was against that training. Again, it's not Dr. Zenko's fault that the policies that she had in place weren't followed. As responsible veterinarians are not statutorily strictly liable for each and every act of an employee, we are asking that this complaint be dismissed with no violation, or at most you issue a non-disciplinary letter of concern. I know you see a lot of these types of cases and are struggling to determine the scope of the of liability for a responsible veterinarian. I suggest that you judge each case individually and determine for yourself if the responsible veterinarian did anything, either failed to do something or did something that in retrospect would have prevented this from happening. And in this case, Dr. Zenko did everything that a reasonable and prudent responsible veterinarian would do. She had policies in place as to the appropriate ways to handle pets. She had a policy against videotaping a pet without the owner's consent. And these two otherwise very valuable employees with no history of any conduct like this, this isolated incident occurred. And while Dr. Zenko had the right to terminate them, she decided to give them a second chance, reprimanded them, made it clear, as you saw in their employee reprimands, that any other conduct like this will result in termination. So we feel that Dr. Zenko did what a reasonable, proven, responsible veterinarian would do, and that she should not be disciplined. This didn't happen because of a lack of education or training on her part. Thank you.
Martha, you have a response? Madam Chair, do we get a legal response?
Probably not.
If there's any need to go into executive session at any time, more than happy.
Okay, I move we go into executive session.
Okay, we have a motion to go into executive session.
Second.
So a motion and a second to go into executive session. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Kicker, can you make sure that the recording is turned over?
Yeah.
He's on his way. He's already
up. Excellent. Thank you.